Greetings, sisters. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, a sister brought up this passage in Mark 12, and I thought it'd be a good topic for us. So I'm calling this audio, The Widow's Mite, Are You Willing to Give All? Let's read Mark 12, 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So hireling pastors today use that as one of the battering rams to get people to hand over their money, telling people to tithe, which isn't biblical for today. And Brother James has teachings on that. You can find those in the teaching blog. But the point we're going to get to is this. We see the Pharisees gave a lot out of the vast amount they had, but the widow was willing to give all from the little she had. And that's a big difference between the two, right? And we kind of see the same thing today, don't we? The church people, they're kind of like the Pharisees, and they give God a couple hours on Sunday and some of their money, and then they take the rest of their life and money and live it for themselves. But a true godly woman is going to give her entire life for Christ, all she has, not just some. And I'm not talking about giving away all your money. What I'm talking about is willing to lose every single thing in your life. And when you live your life and you spend your money, how, and everything that you do is all going to be for the Lord. Not like the Pharisees who give a little bit and then, or give a lot, but still have a whole lot left and then go live it for themselves. So let's read Matthew 10, 38 and 39. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth life shall lose it, and he that loseth life for my sake shall find it. So we sisters, we have to be willing to give all we have to follow after Christ who shed his blood for us. Amen. Matthew 19:29 shows us a little glimpse into what all we will lose or could lose or are willing to lose. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. That's part of counting the cost. Jesus gives us what the cost is there, and many other places we see it in the scriptures. So we have to ask ourselves, are you willing to lose your family or friends or parents or children or your husband, your career, your pride, your vanity, reputation, everything you work for? We have to be willing to give that up, because we see examples of godly women who walked before us. They gave up, like, literal lives, or willing to, anyway. I thought we'd read about some of them who were, like we're talking about, willingly giving up everything they had for their faith in God and ready to lose their life over it. So let's read, Esther 4:16. She was willing to give up her life for the people of God. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. We sisters love that, because that's like laying down your life saying, if I die, I die. I'll do it for the Lord. And then we see Ruth gave up her people and her land to go with Naomi and to worship and serve the one true living God with her. Ruth 1:16-17. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so, if I ought but death part thee and me. Yeah, I love reading about all these women who walked before us. It's strengthening, and it's awesome examples. We're so blessed to have these set before us. Let's see. Anna in Luke 2, she gave her life to serve God. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So she could have been out living her life, giving a little bit like the Pharisees and living the rest of it for herself. But instead she gave her entire life for the Lord. And she was blessed to be able to speak of Christ's coming to all that would listen. I love that. That's awesome. All right, what about Mary? She could have been accused of adultery and stoned back then. Luke 1:38. And what did she say about it? And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. I love that. She just laid down her will and her life for the Lord. And how about Shiphrah and Puah? They were willing to lose their life if the king found out what they were doing. It was the two midwives in Exodus. Exodus 1:15-17. I love this. Oops. Hold on. There it goes. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did, I'm sorry, I can't speak today, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. All right, and because they did that, what happened because they feared God? And they saved the, it says they saved the men children alive. Well, we're going to keep reading verses 18 through 21. So by their faith in God and their fear of him, and disobeying the evil one and being willing to potentially die if they got found out, the king could have killed them. What happened because of their faithfulness? And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, "Why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive?" And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women." Oh, I lost my place. "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives fear God, that he made them houses." That's awesome. I love that. And then, let's see, in 2 Kings we see Jehosheba saved Joash, who later became a king. And she could have gotten killed right along with him if the queen found out, because she killed the seed. But Jehosheba saved Joash. Let's see, 2 Kings 11:2. "But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah." Okay, I should have looked this up. Azariah, I don't know. "Took Joash, the son of Azariah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain." That's pretty awesome, isn't it? She's really brave. And I just want to say a note. I mispronounce a lot of things, but the meaning is there. And you can look it up, and maybe you can pronounce them better in there. But anyway, my intent is there. And let's see. I lost my note. So that was Jehovah. And Hannah. Okay, Hannah, she prayed for a child, and then she gave him to God. And if you don't know the story, she was very sad. She was upset because she didn't have a child. She wanted one. She promised God that if she did have one, she would give it to him, or give him to him. And think about that. That's giving up your only child that you have. I know it's giving it unto the Lord, but look at Abraham and Isaac, and look at God sending Christ. What great example. So anyway, 1 Samuel 1:26-28. "And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And Priscilla, in Romans 16:3-4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Yeah, they laid down their necks for him, willing to give up their life. And what about this one? I love this story. Rahab, Hebrews 11:31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So think about that. She could have died with all her people, but she had faith in God. Okay, she hid the spies, and the people looking for the spies could have killed her too. So we see a great faith in there, and she was willing to give up everything for her faith in God. And what about the women who left their lives and traveled with Jesus? I think a lot of this gets overlooked at times, or this passage here gets overlooked. There were people who traveled with Jesus. They were counted as disciples. There were hundreds of disciples at times, not apostles, there's 12, and not the disciples that Jesus picked, but women were considered disciples, which is a learner, and we see Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And so there were women who traveled with Jesus, and what could have that meant? I mean, they could have been treated just like Jesus was and persecuted. And anyway, Mark 15:40-41. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, the less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And so those are just a few examples of women who were willing to lose their lives. So what about us today? And you think about it, you know, the price we pay now is nothing like it was back then, because for us today, it's all like a fleshly loss for the most part. But back then, it was a possible literal death. And as dark as it's getting, it's going to be like that coming up someday. There's going to be saints who are going to literally lose their life. And if we're afraid sisters are being laughed at because of like the way we look, or people think we're Jesus freaks or Bible thumpers, or because they think we're in a cult, we're never going to lose our literal life for him. So we have to be like that widow who's giving all of it, everything, and all these sisters who walked ahead of us, laying down our lives for him. And so I think I'm going to leave us with this, Matthew 16:24-27. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Yeah, that says what it says. All right, sisters, hold fast. And until I can come back to you again, praise God. Let us keep striving on. May God be praised.